All right, and we're live. Here we go. So today is the day that traders and investors have been waiting for. Fed Chief Powell is testifying in front of the House, I believe. Yes, so the question is, what's he going to say? Will he tank the markets? Also, how does this affect our existing positions? And with that, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Morgan. Today is Wednesday, March 6th, and in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. And boy, Mark, yesterday, I mean, markets were nervous. I mean, if you look at a five-minute chart of the S&P yesterday, it was kind of like, right, we don't like going long into Powell's Fed statement meeting. Anyhow, you start talking. I need to stop. This is not going well. This sentence will not end well.
I hear you, Marcus. I hear the direction you are going, and you're absolutely right. I mean, look at that sell-off, just down, down, down. A little bit of a pop towards the end of the session, but stocks finished lower for the second day straight. So back-to-back losses heading into today's testimony, and where Powell is testifying about the semi-annual monetary policy report before the House Financial Services Committee. So there's some uncertainty here because we never know exactly what he's going to say.
Yeah, so far markets seem to like it. And we also need to say that yesterday was mainly driven by two stocks. So yesterday, Apple was massively down. We see that yesterday, let's go to the daily chart and just see. Yesterday, Apple lost 2.8%, which, as we can see, for Apple is a pretty big deal. And then also yesterday, Tesla moving lower. So Tesla yesterday lost almost 4%. I mean, these are heavyweights in the indices. This is why the indices have been dragged down, mainly, I mean, also by Microsoft. Microsoft was lower yesterday. We can take a look at that really quick. So Microsoft yesterday, let's take a look at this, down 3%. So this is where it seems that today, a little bit of a rebound, technical rebound.
Yeah, I mean, we're back at above where we started the day yesterday before that dip and slide. And it's a positive day. So a little bit of a comeback. And you know, was it profit taking or just some uncertainty before Powell? Either way, we're not back to where we were on Monday, but a nice bounce back.
Yeah, and we see that today's market opened higher. So pretty much all morning, market participants have been kind of bullish going into the testimonial. And I mean, he is still in front of the House of, what was it, the House Committee? You had it exactly there.
Yeah,
the Financial Committee of the House.
Yeah, Financial Services Committee.
Yeah. So he is still speaking, but initially it was that he just said, okay, he reinforced the position that the Fed is not ready to start cutting rates. And I looked at this, and here it says that his prepared remarks were taken verbatim from the last statement on January 31st. And this is why right now the markets are reacting positive to it, because no news is good news. After January 31st, we had several bad readings when it comes to inflation. I mean, we had the CPI that was higher. We had the PPI that was higher. We had the PCE index that was higher. So kind of that Powell sticks to what he said in January. I think, Mark, it's kind of good news, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's reinforcing what has certainly been said, right? So when there is uncertainty and investors, traders trying to figure out what those remarks mean, right, with new wording, that's where everybody gets crazy. I mean, there's algorithms that are just picking up on you know, new words and what, you know, comparing it to what's been said in the past. If he's just reiterating what's already been said verbatim, then that's a good thing. You know, in a nutshell, he basically said that we could be ready to cut at some point this year, but not right now. Not ready to cut right now.
Yeah, and again, nothing new. This is what we already knew from the January meeting. And this is why also, if you look at interest rates here this morning and a 5-minute chart, I mean, we see that interest rates also haven't moved. Most of this move where the 10-year yield is moving lower happened overnight. And this is basically where we started the session here at 8:30. And ever since, just diddling along, not moving a whole lot, basically also indicating that Fed Funds futures traders here are kind of like, okay, nothing has changed.
Yep, the house isn't rocking.
The house is not rocking. Yeah, I mean, looking here at where we stand, it's pretty much the same. No rate cuts expected for the March meeting that's happening in 2 weeks from now. Very slim possibility that something might happen in the May meeting. And again, it seems that the July meeting is the meeting where, the Fed might start lowering interest rates. Seems that based on the data, it might even be later. It might get to the September meeting.
Well, I'm with you on July or September, but we look at the Fed Funds futures markets, and if you take away that big sloppy circle or oval, you see there, ease, June, 70.6%.
Yeah. I mean, this is where really we want to see what's happening with the next CPI and PPR reading. And then also...
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that Fed funds futures right now pointing to a cut in June still. But I'm with you. I don't think it will happen in June.
And I mean, this is where also this week, the next big report this week on the economic calendar is on Friday, where we have the jobs report.
Exactly. So jobs will be in the spotlight. We did get JOLTS job openings coming in, 8.86 million jobs. And so this was down 26,000 from December, which wasn't a whole lot compared to where we were a year ago, down more than 1.5 million. And it's off 3.3 million from the historical peak in March 2022. So the JOLTS jobs opening was something that the Fed looks at. And it just shows that the labor market is tightening up a little bit, which again is good for the potential for the Fed to cut.
Yeah. So, but if you look at what's expected here for Friday for the jobs report, I mean, average hourly earnings are expected to move down again. The unemployment rate is supposed to be steady, and the non-farm employment change supposed to be a little bit lower. So, but nothing really drastic is expected here. So we'll see what happens on Friday morning.
We'll have to wait and see.
All right. Now, with that said, we do have a couple of stocks reporting earnings towards the tail end here, one of them being Nordstrom, JWN Nordstrom, and not having a good day, down 13%, even though they beat earnings.
Yeah, I mean, nasty, nasty drop. But this is where, sure, you could have an earnings beat, and they beat on earnings, they beat on revenue, so beat on the top and the bottom. But the real disappointment here was their guidance, and that's why the shares are down.
Yep. And then also we have Foot Locker, FL, and also having a pretty bad day, down 27%, even though they reported better than expected earnings.
Yeah, and this one, they reported after the bell. They reported before the bell. Initially, it was down just 5%, and it's continued to slide. So traders reading into that, not liking it at all. Their outlook, again, being the concern.
Yeah, and this is where sometimes we like to take these earnings trades. So what do you think about Foot Locker as an earnings trade? Would you be interested in this?
Well, it goes back to the two things that we want to make a decision on. One, is it a stock that I want to own? And two, is it a price that I want to own the stock at? And looking at the fundamentals there, there is a decent dividend yield. It's much better than the average for the S&P 500. PE ratio is a little bit on the high side, near 40. So that would be a warning. but the income is a little hit or it's just small, slim profit margins, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's retail, right? I mean, that's normally retail.
Yeah, it almost looked negative because it was so slim, but it looks like 4 out of 5 quarters were positive. I think that fundamentally, it's a maybe PE ratio a little bit on the high side, but then it also comes down to the price. And do you like owning it at this price, Marcus?
Yeah, this is where it's quite interesting because we have to zoom out so that we see a little bit the full picture here. And this is where we see, okay, before the pandemic, they were already moving lower. Then right here is the pandemic drop. So they've been trading around 40 Foot Locker during the pandemic, a clear pandemic winner after this crash, going up, going down. I mean, right now it's just bouncing around a little bit too much. And if you look at this, this looks like a bouncy ball that you drop from a bridge, right? I mean, it bounces up and down and up and down. So, I mean, when does it stop bouncing? So at this point, I'm not too interested here in Foot Locker, even though the fundamentals initially look good. But looking at the chart, it looks like a bouncy ball bouncing lower and lower.
Yeah. And, you know, interestingly enough, if you look at the earnings analysis tool in PowerX Optimizer, this is one where over the last 12 quarters, a slight advantage to a gain on the earnings reaction, and even on the seventh day, we see 7 out of 12 quarters positive. However, if you look at the average drop, average loss of 22% if there is a negative reaction versus an 11.5% gain. So this is the average for a 7 day. Period, and almost double the loss versus the gain. That's not too hot. And right now we're down 28%. So sure, 28 is bigger than 22, but that highlighted the potential there.
Well, also the max was 37. I mean, that's just the average, right? So it can get worse before it gets better here. So yeah, I agree. Also, not for me. Now, we do have quite a few wheel trades and also WTF trades, and you took another trade today on WTF. Where should we start, wheel or WTF?
Oh, we end with WTF this time.
All right, let's do this. So let's talk about the wheel. Yesterday, we sold the 167.50 put on Apple, and right now, Apple today is down another minus 0.3%. Even though the overall market right now is up, the S&P is up 0.75%. So still weakness in Apple. I must say, I hope that I'm getting assigned here in Apple because this will be lots of fun selling some calls against the position. So I don't want it to bounce back just yet. Fall a little bit more, drop below 167.50 that I get assigned, and then start bouncing back. What are your thoughts?
I'm with you on this one. I think that the market is trying to figure out where we bottom here right now. So down a little bit, even though the broad market's up, trading at 169.50, down a third of a percent isn't a big deal. But I'm with you. I think we could have a nice opportunity to sell calls next week if we get assigned, maybe for a couple of weeks. Right now, I'd be happy to own shares at 167.50.
Yeah, and to be honest, I was looking at it. I'm kind of regretting that I didn't sell the 170 because it could be that we're just bouncing off this level because it has been a super solid support level. So we'll see with a 170 strike, more likely to get assigned here. And when you're trading the wheel strategy, that is the attitude, right? That you're sitting there on a Wednesday and say, I really hope that I get assigned on Friday. If right now you say, oh my gosh, Apple is down again, I might get assigned, and you're scared, you're not doing it right. You're doing something wrong with your stock selection. So I hope that this helps you when you see how we are talking about this and say, oh my gosh, I hope I get assigned, or maybe even should have sold a higher strike price that the probability of assignment would be even higher.
Yeah, and that's always something to consider. When we trade the wheel and start out by selling a put, we're basically saying we want to own shares at a discount from where it's trading. So when we put the trade on versus where it's at now, it's lower. And if we get assigned at 167.50, we're basically picking things up at a discount. So I'm with you. Let's get a sign. And I'm feeling good about the trade because I picked a stock I want to own at a price I want to own it.
Yeah, exactly. So CSIQ, talking about another stock we want to own today. A little bit of revival here in CSIQ, up 3.5% right now, bouncing off the 20 level. And this is where, yes, it is time for CSIQ to start making the move. We've been talking about it right now. We do have a wedge formation here. So earnings coming up in 8 days. So earnings next week, and we hope for good news so that CSIQ can skyrocket. And I mean, it's kind of a double whammy. Right after earnings, we then have the Fed statement. So on March 14th, we have earnings on March, I believe. When is it? 16th? No, I can't remember exactly when the Fed meeting is. I'll probably go back here.
There you go.
14 days. Let's see. March 20th. Okay, March 20th. Close. Anyhow, so this is where nothing for us to do here on this one. GDXJ skyrocketing higher. And I mean, this is where we own GDXJ at 33. We have split our covered calls. So we sold half of our covered calls against the 33 strike price where we were as assigned. You sold the other half at 34. I decided to go with 35. Too early to count it, but it seems that half of our position will get called away at 33 unless we see a massive reversal. You might get called away with all of your position. I don't know what happens. Got to keep an eye on this.
Yeah, it will be an interesting one. It could come down to the wire here. One of the best, I think it's the best week since the first week of December for GDXJ, just a big push higher. This to me really isn't a surprise because it did seem like the US dollar for a period was kind of holding gold prices down and we saw some support there, nice reversal. So likely that I'll get called away. Marcus, I think your 35s are still up for debate, and we'll just have to see where we end up on Friday. But loving this trade.
Yeah, especially with gold making new all-time highs, now trading at 2155. So that is definitely helping the junior gold miners here.
Yeah.
All right, and then we have NEE today, a little bit all over the place. I mean, NEE today as high as 56.91 right now, pulling back a little bit, but nicely above the 56. And we talked about it. So we do have the range here between 55 and 58 right now, pretty much dead smack in the middle. And we hope for a breakout to the upside to move more towards our break even and cost basis, which is still quite far away. But today, a move of 1.6%, I'll take it. It's going in the right direction.
Absolutely. Looks like we found some support right around 55, especially if we're looking at closing prices there. You drew the line right there at that 55 level. So nice to see some support and a move higher. Now we just need it to take off from here.
All right. UPS moving higher. Let's see if I can already sell calls against my existing position here at 157.50, up 1.6% today. I haven't checked this in a while because we have been trading much lower. So if you look for March 8th, and I want to see, okay, how much can I get here at the 157.50? Not where I want it to be. I need a minimum of 39 cents. Let's just do this here really quick. So I need a minimum of 39 cents to get 30% annualized right now. The bid ask is 7x12. So UPS, let's go a little bit higher.
Would you look at next week?
Of course. Let's take a look at next week. See what's happening there. March 15th. And, oops, need to scroll a little bit first.
Still not
it's
there.
It's a little bit better. It's a 47x53, so this would give me 11% because with another week, I would need a minimum of $1.31. All right, so needs to move a little bit more. So what do you think? Another $2-3 probably?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking because that the 155 at 24% with the delta of 30, you know, it will be at the above that 30% level with a dollar move. You probably need $2.50, $3.
Yeah. All right, so these are our wheel trades. Now over to our WTF trades. And so I currently have two WTF trades going on, and the WTF stands for Win the Fear, one being CVS, and you're in this one as well. So this one we entered actually at 73.40 and 73.50 respectively. Right now trading at 74.26, so doing good, moving in the right direction, up 0.8% right now.
Can't complain.
And then yesterday we entered Merck, MRK. Today Merck has a great day, up 1.5%. Yesterday we entered it at 124.68. Is that correct? Let me just double check.
Where I need to. 124.91.
So we got filled a little bit higher. So right now, slightly down, but a nice bounce back. So looks like the markets wanted, or Merck wanted to fall a little bit more before it has the bounce back. But now, hey, go back up to 127.50, 128. I would be happy with that.
I'm right there with you.
All right. And yeah. New trades today, a new trade, PayX.
Yeah, I took this one, got filled at 120.12, and so far working out nicely. Marcus, you decided to pass on this because of that.
I decided to pass on this one. Yeah, I didn't like what I see here in the performance. So this is why I decided to pass on this one. Well, what I coulda, shoulda, looking good. So you got filled at 120.12, already trading at almost 121, 120.99 right now. So you're already in the green. Good for you.
I'll take it.
Yeah. So as you can see, a lot going on here. We have a lot of positions going on. So I have two WTF trades. Mark has three WTF trades. In addition, we have five wheel positions. So super active trading week here today or this week. Which is great, because also the VIX has been a little bit higher, which is good for us. That's what we want to see. It's coming down a little bit as the markets are moving higher. So what do you think? Another new all-time high in the S&P 500 today?
Today? No.
Nah. Okay, I'm with you.
No. I mean, I think we're going to hold up at these gains. So I think we'll end the day strong, maybe a little bit higher, but not a new record today.
Yeah. Talking about new records, final look here at Bitcoin. Look at this. Yesterday, I really need to start logging into my Coinbase account, because I actually want to sell it here at, how high did we go yesterday? 69,210.
69.
I believe that I should sell part of my position at 69,000. That is my goal. And I'm really curious where I entered, because I completely forgot. I do not remember, because it was several years ago. And since it was several years ago, let us see where I could possibly have entered. So I kind of feel that I might have entered right here in this area. So maybe somewhere around 40,000. But hey, could have been 30,000. I need to log in and let you know.
My guess is 32,000.
I'll bet you a cookie. Okay. All right, I'm really curious. I need to go through the process, through the verification process, since I had to switch phones and don't have my authenticator app. But I also have some Ethereum. So Ethereum, I'm pretty certain that Ethereum, I entered at 2400, 2300. So I'm pretty certain that this is my entry price for Ethereum. So, I mean, Ethereum right now, not yet making new all-time highs, still catching up. So I think my plan would be to sell part of my position at 4500, which hopefully, if I get my entry right, should be doubling my money here.
Yeah, that works. Can't complain about a set and forget about trade that's making money.
That's always good. All right. Well, so we'll see what happens here tomorrow in the markets. I think the big day will be Friday, but today it's fireworks for the markets. It is up, up and away. Let's see what our positions are doing. If you enjoyed the show and how we run detail through our trades, give us a like. We really appreciate all of your likes. If you feel that others might benefit from it, please share. There's a share button right underneath. And if you're new to it, hope that you subscribe, and then we'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your day.
Happy trading, everybody.